And now, live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Dave Nemo Weekends with Z and the Rooster.
This is the Dave Nemo Weekend Show, and as promised, we are going to be joined by Gail Banks from Banks Power, and he's going to be giving us an update on what happened at Pikes Peak. As I've said before, I didn't get to see it because I was trying to watch the live coverage, and they cut it out when the rain started. So we're going to get to hear firsthand what happened with his Freightliner and Mike Ryan driving it. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. And actually, I'm the engine guy. It is Mike Ryan's Freightliner.
Oh, okay. I know he's the one driving, and you're the mastermind behind what powers it.
Some years ago, we started turbocharging engines back in the 60s, but in the 70s, we started putting these twin-turbo small-block Chevys that they were, at the time, making 700 horsepower into Camaros and Chevelles and all this kind of stuff. And one of the things I did to kind of settle down the detonation, you know, you boost an engine a lot with superchargers or turbochargers, and you got a detonation problem due to inadequate octane. So we started water injecting, and then we used a little methanol along with the water, and that'll settle it down, but get you a lot more power. So we've been fooling with that through the years, and I hadn't really looked at it for a diesel. And I've been doing diesel since 1978, so
right.
I don't know what took me so long. But we kind of decided on Mike Ryan's truck that what would this be like? So I took this Chevy pickup I've got with it's a 360 horse Duramax in it, and I put it on my chassis dyno. I thought, let's make a piece of electronics that really controls the flow of this stuff properly, and let's make some nozzles that really atomize it properly, because the stuff that was out there didn't work well for us. We went and bought some stuff, and then we decided, well, we're gonna do this. And the guys around the shop are going, hey, this stuff is alcohol. What are we gonna name this? So we came up with Straight Shot. It's shooting it straight in, but it's got that kind of drinker's connotation.
We rigged up this
Straight Shot and made 170 more horsepower on that Duramax.
Now, this is in regards to the fuel system. This isn't Straight Shot nitrous, is it?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
This is Straight Shot water methanol. And, I use nitrous. That's a performance tool I also like with diesel. But that's another story. I got a back motor dragster blown with zoomies that looks like a top fuel car, but it's a diesel.
All right. Well, we'll save that for another show then.
Yeah. But the bottom line was I wanted to try this when we got to the truck and did our super turbo system on it. We found another 400 horsepower when we turned this stuff on.
And you got rid of the turbo lag, correct?
Well, the turbo lag is the other side of the story. That's the super turbo. Last year, I did some prototype engines on my own dime for the Navy. About 10 years ago, I'd done some Cummins-based engines for their boats, and they've been running them and doing well. So I decided they want to get the boats on plane quicker, you know, up on top, moving, especially if something gets hot and they want to get out of there. So I says, why don't we do a supercharger and blow that supercharger into a turbocharger, get that turbocharger lit off, and you guys will be gone. Well, you know, at the time they were cutting back on budget, so I built a couple engines on my own, and we tried them out in one of their boats. Oh, my God, it worked. Boat get up on top and just march.
And these are the specialty Swick boats you're speaking about, right? They're like 20 to 30 foot long armored attack boats and
I don't know if they're armored or not, or you know, there are various Swick boats. I mean, if you Google Swick special warfare combatant craft, you'll see there's a lot of different ones, and you know, I'm really not at liberty to say what type of boat I'm putting the engines in.
I got you.
You know, that's up to those guys if they want to talk about it. But all I can tell you is the boats are darn heavy. Well, Mike's truck for a semi, it's 10,200 pounds. For a semi tractor, that's kind of light. But for a racer, that's really heavy.
Yep.
And getting that thing just off the starting line last year, I was running with Paul Dahlenbach. We were running a 1400 horse twin turbo Chevy and a like a Lola chassis, like an Indy car. And, you know, we were pitting very close to Mike, so I started hanging out with the guys because I love diesel, and this thing is just outrageous. So I'm down there hanging out with them, and they fire that thing up, and just firing it up, the smoke just blots out the sun.
You were saying that, and that was one of your biggest problems, was the big cloud of smoke coming off the line?
Yeah, and the other part of it was that he had a big cloud of smoke because the turbos did not come on quick enough. Smoke, to me, is telling me there's not enough air. I didn't burn that fuel in the engine because I don't have enough supercharger or turbocharger pushing air into it.
Right.
So we found us a really big screw-type supercharger and built a blower drive on that engine so that the engine turns 2,700 at fuel cut. That's as fast as it goes, which is way more than stock. It's a Detroit Diesel 60 Series 14-liter. So, but we're putting that blower way more than four times engine speed. So the blower's running 11, 12,000 RPM. You can imagine the drive system for that. And it pulls up to about 300 horsepower when we're really using the blower. But it makes a hell of a lot more than it uses, of course.
Right.
Bottom line, when we were practicing on the second day of practice in the middle section of the mountain, he left the line and left 225 feet of rubber with both rear tires. Now, these are big, sticky Michelin, super single. These things are made with this real sticky racing rubber. Michelin makes them for us. I mean, he laid down 225 feet of rubber, no smoke from the engine. At that point, I knew we had the formula. This is going to work. So of course, on that segment, he broke his record for last year on that segment. So we all felt real good. You know, it was like, hey, we got the combination. When he wants it to really nail the speed, he can turn on made it the water methanol automatic. And then we put this brake cooling setup on it so that last year he lost the brakes and spun out about the only place on the mountain with a little bit of guardrail. He got very lucky and didn't go off the edge.
It's I've seen some pretty nasty wrecks on Pikes Peak.
It is the most dangerous racing thing I've ever done in 55 years of doing this. I mean, it is downright treacherous. But Mike's a master of the mountains, so that helps. Anyhow, we had it storming in the afternoon on race day. We were set up to go ninth from the last. The guys start running in the morning. But the deal is, virtually every day, top of that mountain, 14,000 feet, they have a little weather event up there. I mean, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we got to run early because, we were running in the fastest class, and they get to choose their time, their start time. And like 10 to 11 in the morning, it freezes overnight most nights up there at the top. We start at 9,400 feet where it's pretty darn cold. So you don't want to start early in the morning because the road surface is too cold and the tires just don't work on that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you start at 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning, now you've got some asphalt temperature, the tires are up to temp, and everything works real good. Nice, dry, warm pavement. Well, last year in the afternoon, we got reports of hail up higher on the mountain and then snow and sleet. And it was raining down where we were. It was pretty rough. And it got so bad, they shut down the upper half of the mountain. And the guys that ran in the afternoon didn't get any chance for a record. They just got to run their car to the middle point, and that was it.
Yeah, and the world record there was broken by the French in the Peugeot. I did get to see that run before the rain started coming, and they beat the record by about a minute and 19 seconds, although I was telling our listeners earlier, you kind of got to put an asterisk next to that because of the new pavement, right?
Yeah, it's all new pavement. When I started running up there, of course, a lot of it was dirt, and I wish I'd have started running up there 40 years ago when it was all dirt, but now it's all pavement. And I'll tell you, it's now attracting these rally racers and road racers from all around the world. So, we're running a project that's supported by Freightliner and supported by Michelin and Detroit Diesel and all of those guys. But it's not a big buck deal compared to this thing from Peugeot. That, you know, here you've got tens of millions of dollars behind this thing and the engineering strength of a major auto company who, by the way, races all over the world. I mean, these guys pound money into racing and really develop some great technology.
Yeah, they spare no expense. I remember they were heating up the tires, almost melting them and putting them on the car 5 seconds before he started. So,
yeah, they got to give them a little love before they go. And you've got a guy who is, if not the top driver in the world, he's one of the top five running the car. So, you know, you look at that with admiration. But we're running against Mike's own record. All the other guys who ran semis on the mountain, Mike's trying to run them off because, you know, he's developed a very good racer and he's got a great skill set. And there's one last thing about Mike Ryan. He likes to twist the tail of the devil. I mean, that guy, honest to God, he tempts fate. I mean, or it looks like it. You know, he's a stunt driver, one of the best on the planet. So driving stuff that's out of shape, I mean, he drives to intentionally crash. So he also knows how to avoid it. And I think that was our key on the mountain this year, to run as well as we did. You know, it's the record up there is for Mike, hit the semis, is 12 minutes and 39 seconds. I'm rounding it off here.
And Mike crept into the 11s, didn't he?
No, he didn't this year. That's our wish, let me tell you.
Right. That's what I heard you saying.
That's the truck's capability, to be sure, based on our dry pavement practice. I mean, my God, the thing is loaded for bear.
So the weather kept you, but he still got a personal best?
Well, here's what happened. It rained in the afternoon, and as you said, a lot of the press just took off and figured, hey, this ain't going to happen. But we hung out. Because Mike, you know, he wanted to go no matter what. So he got in the truck. I mean, it was raining when he got in the truck, and it let off a little, and it started to get a little bit dry at the starting line. They let a few guys go that were ahead of us, and we got in line, and rained again. When I say rain, I'm not talking about gentle rain. I mean, hit flat, stormed.
Right.
Then it backed off again, and we got up to the line, and I just opened the door of the truck, and I says, Mike, I says, you know, there's no way we're getting a record. I don't want you to kill yourself. Just get it to the top. And he just says, thank you for that, Gail. I shut the door, and they flagged him, and he was gone. And, I mean, when he left, the thing's laying rubber. I mean, it's just left with a vengeance. The crowd went nuts. This thing is a crowd favorite on that mountain.
Oh, I bet. It's amazing to look at.
Oh. So he gets about halfway up, and I mean, it's wet, it's raining, real dense fog. The tail's out on every turn. The tail is out something fierce. You know, when you're running wet, you don't stop very well either. So, you know, he goes, soldiers on up the mountain, and I mean, if you think about this, it's 12.42 miles, and his record was 12 minutes and 39 seconds. That means you're averaging 60 miles an hour, and you're running through what we call the W's in the middle section of.
I remember seeing that, yep, along with 150 other turns.
Yeah, 156, I think it is.
Yep.
But those are hairpins. You're going, like, up the face of a cliff, and, you know, he's damn near spinning it out. We've got GoPro cameras all over it, and I'm putting up on BanksPower.com. There's going to be one heck of a video of this thing going up the mountain. Guys are working on it today. But bottom line, he makes it to the top in 12 minutes and 49 seconds, 10 seconds off the record. You know, dry.
And the record was in dry conditions, correct?
Absolutely.
That's impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you have to make any tire changes? Did you have to make any tire changes for the weather, or did you just run them? Because I know they're slotted already.
Yeah, they are. It's got, these tires are look like normal tires that you'd run on your rig. The difference is the rubber compound.
Right.
But the rubber compound is set not, it's not a rain compound. So basically you're loose. I mean, we've got film of the water. You can see how wet the tires are. This guy can drive. This guy is absolutely the best I've seen. And, you know, we got a camera in the truck of him driving, and he makes it look easy, and good drivers do. So anyhow, we're pretty enthused about where we're going with this thing, and it's gonna go to some pretty special places. A lot of people have asked for it to come out, and we're gonna go drifting with it, which is, if you know what drifting is, it's these guys in import cars normally just burning rubber and going sideways through a course. They get scored on style, you know. It's almost like a ballet.
Yeah, how pitched they are and how close they stay to the guy in front of them, and they try and hang with them. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, Gail. We have to take a quick break, and then we'll talk just about a minute and a half, and we'll come back and talk about the future plans for the Freightliner Banks Racing truck. And we're back. This is Z and the Rooster on the Dave Nemo Weekend Show, and we are here with Gail Banks from Banks Power. Now that we got all our responsibilities out of the way, let's go back to being irresponsible and talking about how fast we can go. And that is the topic right now, Gail. How fast can you go?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that was my teenage fantasy, have the fastest car in town. I've been a hot rodder all my life. There is no 12-step program to cure my affliction, I'll tell you. Bonneville, you know, I mentioned earlier, drag racing in Southern California. Of course, running at El Mirage Dry Lake and Muroc Dry Lake back in the 40s and 50s, Muroc became Edwards Air Force Base, so we don't get to run there anymore. But in 49, a bunch of guys went up to the Bonneville Salt Flats and did the first meet, a Southern California Timing Association meet at Bonneville, and guys were going 200 miles an hour then. That was a really big deal,
right?
To go 200. I've been going there since the late 50s, and from like 79 through late 90s, our team of muggers from Banks, why we've had the fastest through those two decades, the fastest street legal car to run up there, and the last one, there were a succession of three of them, was a Firebird that I ran under the auspice of Pontiac Motor Division, and that thing went 277 miles an hour and had a tilt wheel and power windows, and you know, all that stuff was still in the car. Of course, we kind of redid the powertrain, but I got interested in running trucks up there. And late 80s, a guy named John Rock took over GMC, and he approached me to run a pickup truck. And so we ran a project, which later had a production truck version of it, called the Cyclone. And this was a...
I remember the Cyclone.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my gig.
It was like a Blazer, wasn't it, with that was lowered?
Well, we did a pickup version, which was all-wheel drive, V6, turbocharged. That thing was as quick in the rain as it was in the dry. I mean, that all-wheel drive, really good if you're going to drag race on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, that was way quicker than a Chevy SS 454 pickup. So we went, ultimately, I did a 204 two-way average with that little V6 gasoline engine and a 210 one-way, and I'm down in Long Beach doing a talk at a Dodge dealership, a slideshow and stuff, and the guy that was before me was an engineering manager for the Cummins Skunk Works in Columbus, Indiana, and I later found out a member of the board of directors, a really nice guy named John Stang. So I watched his show, and then he hung out for mine and helped me pack up, and we started talking, and I says, you know, I want to set the diesel land speed record with my Streamliner. Would you be interested? And he said, would I be interested? I run the Skunk Works. I says, you guys are doing the future engines, huh? And I says, well, what do we need to do? He says, well, we don't have a lot of money. This is like early 80s, and the Cummins stock was down in the $25, $26 range. They were in a hole, and early 80s. Early 2000s. And so he says, come on back on a Friday. I'll give you all afternoon with my engineering staff. So I had lunch with 102 people, and I had the afternoon to explain to them what I had in mind. And they were working on a new V8 pickup engine and a V6 pickup engine, but they were very green and not well into their development cycle. So I says, let's run your inline 5.96 and honor your customer, which at the time was Dodge. And I'll put one of your engines in a Dakota, big engine, little truck, and we'll go. I want to beat that GMC record with a Cyclone, with a diesel. And 42 of the guys volunteered to be involved, give us engineering information, whatever we needed. So we stuffed that Cummins in the Dakota after spending about 6 or 7 months of developing it. I had it up to 735 horsepower. It was a common rail. They weren't even out yet. Mm-hmm. We had the first common rail witnessed by the public anywhere, and nobody developed the engine. That's why I spent the time on it. So bottom line, I hooked a trailer behind the truck, drove it out to the salt flats with all the race gear in the trailer. This Dakota, by the way, is a cool-looking piece. Took the trailer off of it, took out the racing tires and wheels and put on the truck, and we ran the best mile of 222 miles an hour and an international two-way record of 217 with a Cummins-powered pickup truck. Now, I got to tell you, no one's broken that record. It has stood since, I think, 2002.
That's when you got something good when it doesn't get broken every year.
Yeah, I know. And we drove it onto the salt pulling the trailer. It blew everybody's minds. You know, it's a truck. So I still got this serious Jones to do a streamliner.
Mm-hmm.
And my streamliner's been 382 with about a 1,200 horse 53 DeSoto Hemi and a big GMC blower and about 40% nitro method. So that I know the car will go fast. I know it'll go straight. The current record is 350 miles an hour flat. The English spent about $17 million to build this project, this twin-engine diesel streamliner.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. I'm not overestimating this. I'm telling you a fact. Big diesel equipment company in England, and it was driven by a Royal Navy fighter pilot blessed by the Queen. I mean, it's like we're a bunch of California hot rodders, and you got this armada comes out to the salt, and they go 350. So front engine, rear engine, all-wheel drive, two engines, the whole thing. My car's a hot rod. My streamliner's a hot rod. It's two-wheel drive, and it's a Dart. You know, it's 30-some feet long and about 30 inches wide, big tail on the back of it. I decided, okay, if I went 382 with that blown DeSoto, I can make better power than that with a Duramax. So, and we've developed everything for that engine. Crankshaft with bigger rod journals, special con rods, our own bearing size, steel pistons. We're now into a new head program, cylinder head program. A friend of mine from Indiana came up with some castings, and we're helping them develop the heads, and we're going to have a killer race engine in that streamliner.
That sounds pretty awesome. And hey, Gail, I hate to do this to you again, but we got about one more minute, bud.
Okay, I'll wrap it up.
All right.
So, folks, if you're listening, watch for the diesel drag racing events. We're going to be running from Texas up into Indiana and Kansas and wherever we can run, Kentucky. We're going to be out with that dragster here in a few months. And also, we're going to be, at that Fairplex we're going to have August the 30th through September 29th at the L.A. County Fair. All the cars I just talked about, except the Streamliner, all of them will be on display there. All the engines we've done through the years, boats, military, truck, you name it, there's a full month to see this stuff. So I hope to see you there.
All right, and that is Gail Banks with Banks Power. And, Gail, I've told the viewers this before, but I might as well tell you that, and God forbid Mike Ryan ever comes under the weather and you need a fill-in driver, you just let me know, and I'll give it my best shot.
All right.
Or even if you got
a buddy seat, too.
Yeah, and even if you just got an open seat in the passenger seat, I'd love to get some of this stuff on the air and onto our Facebook page.
We'll get you a ride.
All right, Gail. Well, I really appreciate you being on, and once again, it's always a pleasure, and I'm sure all of our listeners enjoyed that, but we are going to have to let you go. That is pretty much the end of the Dave Nemo Weekend Show.